destruction to function. Justice for the human family, we demand it. Justice, truth, freedom, equality's a must. Us decolonization of the planet, so bust this. People be the power, now we build the justice. Pouring assist on divination, how we build the justice. Welcome the planet to the podcast, build the justice. Build the justice, build the justice, build. Is to add on or do away with it. Justice.
Welcome to Building Justice, a podcast by Sacramento State Center on Race, Immigration, and Social Justice. We explore critical issues affecting our communities with the hopes of creating a healthier and more just world. I am Brenda Joyce Newman, an alumna of Sacramento State University with a master's degree in political science. Today, we will be talking about basic needs for the Sacramento community. I come enthusiastically and without reservation to introduce to some and known to others a woman with a true love for the people. Ms. Suri Colbert, founder of the Community-Led Advocacy Program, acronym CLAP. Hello and welcome, Ms. Suri. Can you please share with the listeners a little about yourself?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It is a pleasure and honor to be in your presence, Ms. Brenda, and to be part of this wonderful podcast for our community. You know, my name is Suri K. Colbert. I am a founder of a wonderful organization called CLAP, Community Lead Advocacy Program. And blessed to be here to talk about basic needs and specifically basic needs for the Black community here in Sacramento.
Oh, well, that's great, Ms. Suri. Thank you for sharing that with us. Ms. Suri, how did CLAP form?
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm from Sacramento. I was raised here. It come from a military family that was stationed here, and we were blessed to be a part of a wonderful community of various Black, Latino, Asian, and folks from all over the world. But our community, our friends became our family, and we took care of each other no matter what was going on. And that was part of my how my life was shaped and created to always be united with others, but also created a life of service. Because when you're a military family, you are always serving, always volunteering. And that's how I became involved in human services, working in the community, and how I raised my daughter, who also was raised here in SAC. So during the pandemic time, a lot of our families were going without, and individuals were going without. And as you know, like in Sacramento, the marginalized communities, there are staples such as like housing and affordable housing and community centers. But throughout these years, before the pandemic, and especially now, there's been such a deficit for the very basic needs and access to those needs. And so in a lot of those areas where resources were repetitively scarce were in the neighborhoods that were predominantly Black and people of color here in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, comes from like cities around California where the distribution of resources, housing, economic sources are due to, you know, historical redlining ordinances and laws that were set in place generations ago. But just with mapping and locating where resources are, organizations that provide the basic needs like free hot meals, showers, free laundry, free sheltering, they're all based here in Sacramento in like the centralized areas, which is downtown. And there's other areas that are being left out. Our low to no income community members, like in South Sacramento, North Highlands, the Art and Arcade area go without some of these major resources. And during the pandemic, basic needs for the community increased, but sources for those resources decreased with the shutdowns and the lack of involvement from our local government and organizations that, you know, just couldn't be open. So with the public health crisis, it became more than just public health. It was a community crisis where Black people took the brunt, especially those who were unhoused due to the lack of resources.
I see. Well, thank you, Ms. Zuri. That tells us how complicated this program was and why their needs for such organizations as CLAP. And we certainly do thank you for being there, you know, to help those that needed that help. Thank you so much. Well, my next question for you is, there's a housing crisis due to high rents and lack of affordable housing around California. Are there any current statistics or demographics for the Sacramento unhoused community?
And there are. Our local COC, Sacramento Steps Forward, recently did in 2022 a point in time count. And sometimes that's known as the PIT count, or they call it the homeless count. And the last one they did was prior to the pandemic in 2019. And due to the, you know, the public health crisis, they weren't able to fully complete until this year. The findings were there's about 67% increase for those who are experiencing being unhoused right now. 67%. And that includes white people being 46% of that population of the unhoused, and Black people being 31% of that population of the unhoused. With the Latino, Latina community, they are 20%. And our Indigenous Native American community, 7%. So these are very staggering statistics, right? We've discussed this. They're very staggering statistics, but they also provide a wake-up call in why, you know, CLAP here, we are unapologetically focused on the Black community, because in contrast, we only make up about 11% of the Sacramento County population, yet we're 31% of that unhoused population. And if you go to the neighboring counties like Yolo County and Placer County, where there, you know, aren't even large populations of us, we still make up a large disproportionate amount of those experiencing being unhoused.
Wow, that is staggering. Thank you for that information. Wow. Well, my next question for you is, there's been a surprising number of Sacramento State students and college students overall in California that are living in their cars or have no housing available to them. You know, a lot of them just couch surfing. So with the already growing population of young adults going through this, do you have any information on that?
Yeah, that's really hard and tough to hear, to know our young adults and our youth. These are our young people. I know you do a great job with doing a lot of supports and connecting our young people to supports and services. So this is important. When it comes to our unhoused youth, that also, that statistic also went up. The data shows there's been a 53% increase in the transitional age youth, early adult. And that's that 18 to 24 year old bracket. Mm. Yeah. And once again, 49% white, and 33% of those young adults, 18 to 24, are Black. And there's other multiple races that our youth identify with, about 15% and 22% identify as Latino or Latina. So that's heartbreaking to hear. That's our young people, you know, and mm-hmm. we should be doing all the great things like that some of your work is doing.
Yeah, that's another astounding statistic, you know, because I believe that human beings are our most precious resource. And if our children cannot get the education without the fear of being housing insecure, then, I mean, you have enough on your plate trying to, you know, matriculate through college, academia. But then to have to worry about, you know, being unhoused or housing insecure, couch surfing and so forth, you know, I know I was really astounded to find out from another lady, Kathleen Williams, who's working with the unhoused and the care group at Sac State, you know, that this was even happening. I had no clue and no idea. So thank you for giving us the reality of how bad that is. My next question for you, is there any collected data for the Black community when it comes to unhoused Sacramento families?
Yes, they also collect the data on families, and they continue to collect that, which is very key. When it comes to families, it is very, like you said, our precious humans. There's been a decrease, excuse me, with our families that were counted during this PIT count. But we know, Ms. Brenda, that due to the pandemic, not everyone could be counted, right? Yeah. So the data that we have is just estimates, which is also very heartbreaking. More than likely, there's more with the numbers that we're providing. But the composition of the unsheltered family, for the lead for families being unhoused is the Black family, which is the module homeless family consists of a single female headed household where the parent is Black, usually in her mid-30s with 1 to 2 young children.
Wow. That's just really just astounding. I just, I'm amazed to see this and just wonder where hope lies. But with organizations like CLAP, I know that gives them some hope. So now we're coming back from the break. So if you want to give us a little information about your services at CLAP, the key services that you have there.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, we are here at CLAP. We are a community reach up and resource support. So when it comes to our services, we provide that viable access to culturally competent resources, mm-hmm. as well as links to services that meet the needs of our community, meeting them where they're at. We also do reach ups, which is kind of like a community reach out or a community outreach, where we also meet our community members where they're at and provide living supplies, community updates, if it's for our unhoused community, but also those who are in those marginalized and traditionally exploited areas that don't have a lot of access to resources and may need to sustain living. So links to services like maintaining utilities or rental assistance, or even fun things like quality of life, like access to art and access to enrichment activities for our youth and families. So you'll see us at those kind of events as well in those traditionally exploited areas like the South area and Del Paso Heights and North Highlands, where there's not a lot of access and activities. It's changing a little. There's more access, there's more activities, but just really meeting people where they're at and letting them know of some of the supports.
And you, this is mostly for the Black community, correct?
We are unapologetically focused on the Black community. And we are unapologetically focused on the Black community because of those statistics we talked about. Mm-hmm. For unhoused community, whether it's families, our individuals who are our youth, our transitional age, young adults, as well as for just a population of 31%, there's a generational wealth need for Black people. And we don't have that due to like the redlining and the hundreds of years that we worked and weren't able to obtain that generational wealth passed down to family. And then also within Sacramento, we share a lot of resources. So a lot of times with our neighborhoods having supports or possibly some resources, we're sharing them with other community members. Mm-hmm. And everyone should have access, but everyone should have access to quality of life and resources and services. There's just very little, few in between, specifically for us when we have the largest needs. And we lead many of these statistics of lack and need, mm-hmm. and in other areas as well, when it comes to incarceration, when it comes to our local jail system, 40% of the jail population is Black. When it comes to fees and fines revenue, that meets the revenue for our government, Black women lead that nationwide. So mm-hmm. on all these areas where we're at the top of these deficits, we have to have an unapologetic focus because we don't have the wealth and the capacity to be able to pull down or ask for other supports.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you, Ms. Suri. Okay, Ms. Suri, did the pandemic impact the resource and reach up support provided to Sacramento?
Yeah, it did. For us here at CLAP, we actually stepped up, as many of our local great mutual aid groups and organizations that were doing the work prior to the pandemic. We tried to step up because there was still life going on, and our folks within the communities of color, our Black folks, were being left behind. And we worked on fines and fees reform for low-income communities, and specifically created a survey that was geared towards our unhoused community that could not get online and be a part of those hybrid meetings where they were discussing reforms. We were able to have a forum for the fines and fees changes that were needed to assure our unhoused community were being provided a voice. And once again, like we discussed earlier, with some of the numbers with high rates of our Black folks being in the unhoused population, that also goes for fines and fees. Black women carry the fines and fees burden within the nation. We also were part of the redistricting outreach to assure our unhoused community and those who weren't familiar with redistricting here in Sacramento. At the local level, we're able to provide a voice and attend some of the meetings and give them updates and just continue to step it up and have our community lead these initiatives. Those who were impacted, those who were in-house, are Black people. And with some of our really great groups, we were very, very blessed. There are groups like NorCal Resist, Sacramento Poor People's Campaign, the Neighbor Program, Black Child Legacy, Mutual Assistance Network, Escape Velocity. A lot of these groups were doing that work. And so we were able to connect with these amazing organizations to have more impact, and made such a difference. And we continue to do that, continue to, within this year, continue to provide that connection with other community partners, but to assure that we are meeting the needs of the people who are what's most important.
Well, thank you, Missouri, for that. It really helps us to understand more that where there's collaboration, there's power. And that's what the people need. Thank you so much for that. Do you have any more information about Black hygiene supplies?
Yeah, when it comes to the Black hygiene supplies, we are going to start having them at more of our reach ups. I wanted to just say that it sounds weird to say Black hygiene supplies, right? Because all hygiene supplies are important, but with Black, but for some of our community members who are Black, and even some Indigenous and Latino community members, our hair texture and our skin tone is different. So we require lotions in order to maintain the oils on our skin, as well as our hair requires that. And with those products, those items that are needed for our bodies and our hair, they're about 3 times as much if you can't even locate a store that sells them. They're at 3 times as much. And they are something that should be at every shelter and every outreach for any group, yet very rarely do they have them. So you'll see many of our ladies and males going without them, and hair falling out and not able to, you know, maintain their just basic respect and dignity. Mm-hmm. And that's something we really strive to provide when we can. But once again, we need, you know, our community partners, and we're thinking of doing a donation drive like we did last year, to assure that we can get those into the shelters. And when we do outreach to the students who may be living in the cars or couch surfing, that they have access to them.
How could a community member get in touch to locate a resource or to list their community-led resource?
Yeah, great question. We have a website, which is clapsac.com, which is CLAPSAC.com. And on that website, it's a very user-friendly website that includes a Clap Connect form. If anybody in the community needed any resource links or supports, they could complete that and fill it out. It also allows for those who may not have regular access to the internet or a phone to meet into the community. We can meet you also within the community. We also have a community corner that lists all of the community-led events and supports that are going on during each week. And we also send out like a small newsletter called Clap Weekly with resources weekly of the community-led events that are going on. People would like to participate and interact or dive into or share, and we encourage sharing, so there's more awareness of what some of these great community-led groups and organizations are doing.
That sounds great. Thank you. Well, one last question for you. I know you to be a faith-based person. How does your faith help you accomplish what can sometimes seem to be an overwhelming task of helping people find basic needs?
Yes. Faith always is in the forefront of what we're doing. there has to be a root within faith with some of the, I wouldn't say hopelessness. I do see a lot of helplessness out on our streets and community. And for Black people, we have a lot of hope. We keep going and we are very resilient. And that's rooted in faith. That's rooted for myself and CLAP. It's rooted in that faith on that there is something higher that we're trying to achieve. And that's an upliftment and empowerment to our people who have been without and go without and still are the lead in many of these really staggering statistics across the board. So there has to be a hope and a belief that it is going to get better. But we need a hand. We need our allies and our community to come together to be able to do that.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Ms. Suri. This has been very, very informative. And I just want to thank you, Ms. Suri, for the vision called CLAP. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness. And I thank you for exemplifying a woman of faith, the principles in the Bible to do what the Lord requires you to do. And that's to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And you do all those things. And lastly, Ms. Suri, I'd like to thank you for providing resources for, as the Bible says, the least of these, the widow, the orphan, and the sojourner. Amen. And listeners, I want to thank you for listening. We hope our ongoing conversations spark understanding, empathy, and motivation to join the struggle for a better future for all.
All the penalties and the rewards based on the actions. Now, time for building justice. Building justice. Time for